The Gospel reading is from the Gospel according to St. John. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." It's common to hear people these days saying that while they're not religious, they are spiritual. A widespread interest in spirituality is clear from the body, mind, spirit sections of the bookshops, as well as the number of courses, weekends, seminars, magazines and groups dedicated to all kinds of spiritual things. Often it seems that the term spiritual is being used to refer to a certain kind of feeling or sensibility. Just as people appreciate music or art, so to be spiritual seems to mean appreciating the deeper meaning in human culture, expressed through music, poetry, symbols, rituals, and stories. The wonder aroused in us by natural beauty, the effect on us of a piece by Mozart, the way in which we're moved at the sight of a newborn infant. I have heard all of these described as spiritual experiences. For the Bible, the Spirit is in the first place breath, a primitive but still useful way of telling the difference between what's alive and what's dead is that one breathes and the other does not. Adam, according to the book of Genesis, becomes a living creature when God breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, a share in God's own life or spirit. One of the Psalms expresses it like this: "You take back your spirit, they die, returning to the dust from which they came. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." It's not surprising then that the arrival of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost sounded like a powerful wind from heaven, or that Jesus on the day of his resurrection breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Or that earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus dies by giving up his spirit. On one level, it means simply he breathed his last. On another level, it means he gave up his life. He gave his spirit to the world. In the moment of recreation through the death of Jesus, the human being is brought to new life by the breathing into him of God's Holy Spirit. For the Bible, then, to be spiritual means to be alive. There are, of course, different kinds of life. The disciples of Jesus, fearfully gathered in a closed room, were biologically alive, but in another way they were dead, paralyzed with fear and frozen with dread. The effect of the coming of the Spirit is to bring them to life, to animate and invigorate them, to set them on fire with courage and enthusiasm for preaching about the marvels of God. They became spirited people, alive in a new way, carried along by a fresh wind. They became bold and preached boldly. There's a strange Irish use of the English word bold. We were taught not to be bold. It was a bad thing to be bold. The proper English use of the word means courageous, enterprising, confident, stout-hearted, daring, and brave. Bishop Willie Walsh, one of the Irish bishops, talking about recent controversies, said, "Many people grew up in this country in a culture where boldness was beaten out of you." And it is a shame to lose this term, bold, in its positive sense, because the effect of the Spirit is to embolden, to make people courageous, enterprising, confident, stout-hearted, daring, brave, courageous, and persistent in seeking truth and justice. So those who receive the breath of God, His Spirit, are emboldened. They become alive. They come alive in a new way. Breathing, of course, is something from which we cannot stand back in order to have a good look at it. We must continue to breathe while trying to think about our breathing. And the Holy Spirit remains faceless for a similar reason, because the Spirit is the power which makes us alive as Christians. We cannot stand back from the Spirit in order to have a good look at Him. He will still be behind us, or beneath us, or within us as we try to do it, because the Spirit is the power by which we live and move and look at anything. So we can only know the Spirit sideways, as it were, through the effects He brings about. The visitors in Jerusalem were bewildered to see the ragged bunch of Galileans preaching in all the different languages of the world. We cannot say that they saw the Holy Spirit, although they saw the effect He was having in the disciples. Some of them explained it by suggesting the disciples were under the influence of a different kind of spirit, drunk on new wine. We believe they were intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, the gift of the ascended Christ from the Father. While we cannot put a name or a face on the Spirit, we identify Him as the Spirit who bears witness to the Father and the Son. St. Paul teaches us that we cannot say Jesus is Lord except under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, we cannot say Abba, Father, unless we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. For St. John, only the Spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So the work of the Spirit is to enable us to believe in the Son and so come to the Father. A wonderful view, a piece of Mozart, a newborn child, all can bring God's love home to us in a moving and striking way. The Spirit working within us keeps us alive to the depth there is in things. We live in a world which is sophisticated, prosperous, and busy, but increasingly anxious, stressed, and superficial. What is the meaning of it all? To what end the running around, the making of money, the pursuit of knowledge? It is easy to see why people long for spirituality, for something deeper, more meaningful, more satisfying. That longing needs to be acknowledged and respected, even as we try to point people to where we know it is fulfilled, in the gift of the Spirit of Christ, who awakens this longing in us in the first place.